Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Very excited about my next guest. Let me ask you a question. How secure do you feel when you're walking around in a strange place? Do you know what you would do if someone approached you? Would you like to feel more secure so you can protect yourselves and people around you? Well, Sam Rosenberg is with the Impacts Academy of Personal Protection out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we're going to talk about how Sam helps people to protect themselves and their organizations and teaches them how to protect themselves. We're going to talk about executive security for the 21st century. So, Sam, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Doing well, thank you. How are you today?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
I like this topic. I know a lot of our listeners travel. They find themselves in maybe places where they don't feel so secure. So tell us a little bit about Impacts Academy of Personal Protection and Sam, your background and why you started it.
Sure. Thanks, Bill. Basically, about a million years ago, I got out of the Marine Corps. I was an officer, and I got into the close protection world, which is kind of a fancy pants way of saying bodyguarding. And it was during this time that I developed a bit of a personal philosophy that it's good to have a lifeguard, but ultimately you should know how to swim. So Impacts is fundamentally the direct evolution of that philosophy. And my goal was really to take the skills and the tradecraft and the knowledge that we use to protect high-ranking dignitaries or executives or high-risk people, and to be able to teach that to individuals and organizations so they could protect themselves. Nowadays, you know, we kind of do both. We're in the business of protecting people and organizations through executive protection, travel security, threat management, and threat assessment consulting. And we're also in the business of really teaching people how to manage things like everything from personal security to traveling safely and securely, you know, whether they're a business or pleasure, and then also critical incident response. You know, how do you respond should there be a worst-case scenario, and how do you even prevent those in the first place from happening, whether it's at a school or at a workplace?
Well, we always need to be prepared. Do a lot of companies come to you after some kind of an incident has occurred, either someone that they know or even in their organization or around them?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the world is a little bit reactive in that way where, you know, sometimes the impetus for taking action is an incident. The problem is that in the line of work that we do, when there's an incident, usually it is potentially a culture-changing event, or it's certainly a life-altering event for the people involved. So this is a subject matter that is best handled in advance. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, personal security is a fundamental human need, but it's ultimately an individual responsibility. And from a business perspective, you know, business owners, we have a duty of care to protect our people. And that responsibility not only falls on all our shoulders to protect those people that are under our care, but also to encourage them to understand how to protect themselves so that they can look after each other. You know, in the lifeboat of an organization, it really is that we do have that responsibility to one another to identify those early warning indicators when they emerge and to help prevention. So, unfortunately, people come to me sometimes with a lot of team organizations. They get ahead of the curve, and we do a lot of proactive training.
Is one of the first things that you talk about the concept of just being aware of most people just aren't even aware of what's going on around them, isn't that right?
Absolutely. You know, situational awareness is key. The problem is it's kind of like the TSA. You know, they have this nice little slogan, you know, if you see something, say something. The problem is no one's telling you what the hell to look for. So the key in situational awareness is really tuning it and understanding how to enhance your natural intuition. Intuition is, the best definition is knowing without knowing why. And we all have it. It's like a radar that's always on. And at the end of the day, it's going to be your best early indicator of potential threat and potential danger. The problem is, when we talk about situational awareness, since most people have never actively trained it, what we tend to do is actually dismiss it. So when we get those early warning indicators, our first thought is, it's probably nothing. I'm overreacting. Or we let the social contract get in the way and we say, but I don't want to be rude, or I don't want someone to be upset with me. So we make decisions that, in all intents and purposes, Bill, you know, it's like the human being is the only animal in the animal kingdom that will willingly participate in its own victimization. So situational awareness is absolutely the first and most fundamental defensive tactic.
Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you a question. I know if you were in any of these typical kind of situations where somebody is approached or accosted or something like that, that they probably would not, those situations would not happen. For the average person out there, how many situations do you, or what percentage of situations do you think could be avoided by knowing a few tactics?
I think most situations can be avoided. And I'll tell you why, is because just like we just said, you know, people lack an understanding fundamentally that what is going on, or that these early indicators of a potentially dangerous situation developing, they dismiss it or disregard the indicators that are in front of them. So what we have to do is really, through training and through acknowledging that bad things do happen, that there are in fact bad people who will prey on good people, at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that and recognize that, okay, you know, when we see the signs of an impending potential, you know, dangerous situation, to take action. The problem is most people don't know what they're looking for. So, you know, it's, to me, human violence is a process, and it's something that is as often as observable and really preventable, if you will, as boiling water, if you just know what you're looking for. You just have to understand the indicators. Let me give you an example. You know, when we talk about situational awareness, one of the things that people don't do on a regular basis, for example, is, you know, when they're traveling or when they're moving about, you know, sometimes what they do is they actually shunt their natural awareness by being too plugged into their phones, their iPads, or whatever. So they even limit their ability to see things or to hear potential problems coming. The problem that we have with that is that even if we're aware, you know, we get into this denial mechanism that says it's not happening. You know, when the best thing you can do in terms of training that is a very simple tool that I teach that, you know, I know is actually taught at the highest levels, you know, international CIA clandestine services, is when you look at an environment, for example, and every environment has a particular purpose, whether it's a hallway or a parking lot or, you know, a lobby of a building, you know, there's a purpose to it. And if you see people in that environment that are not using the environment for the dedicated purpose, you know, then we have a problem. It's something that should raise your alert. You know, in other words, if you see someone lingering around a parking lot when a parking lot is typically meant to be used for coming and going, there should be a reason, and a question should emerge of why. And there should be a little bit of a raising of your alert level until you recognize whether or not it's of significance to you. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I was just wondering, are there typically, to a trained person like yourself, are there three questions you ask yourself immediately that assess the significance of that and whether you should be on alert level, you know, A, B, or C, or that type of thing?
Instead of having three questions, what you really have is you've got your internal barometer, which is really the easiest thing to go by. You know, when you see something and you get a bad vibe, that is your intuition talking. And that bad vibe can be a function of, you know, a low grade, something's not right, or it can be outright fear. And the reality is that what we have to understand about that vibe is that fundamentally that demonstrates to us, you know, worse, you know, there's something's going on. So in terms of raising your alert level, it's not about sort of going from obliviousness to maybe level two, you know, orange or yellow or whatever. All you have to know is that when you pick up those early indicators, to start paying attention. When signs start to emerge beyond that, whether it's someone approaching you and starting a conversation or, you know, something that seems out of place, you want to take decisive action to what we say getting off the X, okay? Where okay. If you believe that you're being teed up for a problem, you know, start moving. Move away from that area. And, of course, if you can't move away from that area, then you have to be able to respond to the emerging threat. That's where training comes in, because without the training of how to respond physically in terms of either deterring a situation or simply, you know, de-escalating it or responding physically, functionally, you're really not going to be able to sort of rise to the challenge, because we tend to fall to the level of our training. And what I mean by that is our natural preset is to go into a degree of paralysis. You know, we don't want this to be happening. We deny that it is occurring, and by the time we realize that it's real, we've had significant hesitation. And that compounds to the degree that if we don't have an immediately pre-designed course of action to follow, a physical response, if you will, you know, we're most likely to just freeze.
Well, yeah, and I'm going through my mind is all kinds of scenarios. Of course, we all watch the movies and we see the immediate reaction of people that we, you know, that know what they're doing. But I think the big question for most executives, for instance, would be, do I start with verbal? If so, what do I say? How do I try to disarm a situation? You know, so what are some of the early steps of that?
Well, the first thing at the fundamental root of it, before you even look at tactics, whether they're verbal tactics, nonverbal tactics, or physical tactics, before any of that, what you want to understand is a little bit of bad guy psychology, okay? And, you know, to summarize a fairly lengthy explanation in a really simplistic way, bad guys of all types, whether they're really professional bad guys or just your typical street predator, are fundamentally not looking for a fight. Okay, they're looking for an easy target, and there's a really distinctive difference there, because when you bring up Hollywood, you know, we're all sort of misled to a great degree about Hollywood. You know, we see a Jason Bourne movie, and you have a well-trained good guy fighting against a well-trained bad guy, and someone literally has to win. The thing is, that's not a real paradigm of violence in the real world. In the real world, the human predator, if you will, is extremely invested in making sure that they select the right prey. And fundamentally, what they're looking for is a target that either cannot or will not fight back and poses no danger to themselves. It's the same in the animal kingdom. You take a lion, doesn't go after the biggest, strongest, fastest gazelle, because that represents not so much danger to that lion, but the potential for greater degree of failure and more effort. So most of the time, what we have to understand here is that it's not a competitive dynamic. It's not that we have to be bigger, stronger, faster, better. It's that our objective is to make sure that we are not perceived as a soft and therefore easy target. The fastest way that you can be perceived as a soft target is to not be aware of your environment and to not see the threat emerging. So the simple fact that you immediately acknowledge and recognize the early indicators of a problem and you start taking some kind of action to either move away from that threat or at least orient yourself to it, demonstrates to that predator that you're not an oblivious and therefore easy target. You're not a soft target. You become a more difficult target or a hard target. That's really at the core of real-world personal security. And if you think about, at the end of the day, what's the purpose of personal security, whether it's physical, financial, you know, IT security and information security, at the end of the day, the goal is to deny opportunity. So those predatory bad guys who are defined most by the, you know, looking for the opportunity or trying to create the opportunity to go after a soft target, if you simply remove yourself from that equation and no longer appear that way, most likely you're not going to be targeted. And this is why I say that the vast majority of situations can be avoided or neutralized, you know, even without the physical response. The problem comes when the situation is something that you simply cannot get away from, And in other words, the bad guy chose the time and the place. You've got your little kids with you, and you just can't get away quickly enough. Now all of a sudden you have a vulnerable situation where you have to be prepared to deal with that bad guy, and you have to be able to incapacitate them if need be. It's as simple as that. And as I said before, unfortunately, we don't rise to the occasion. We fall to the level of our training. So when people have an absence of training and they're faced with that, the reality of the eventuality of violence, most people are hardwired to simply freeze. In fact, there's two outcomes. They either panic or they go into paralysis. At the end of the day, neither result is good. So that's why it's important to have training, and that's why we exist, to teach people those critical skills. The thing is, it's not martial arts. You don't have to be better. It's not competitive. They're practical life skills.
So what's the best way for people to engage your services and learn about this, Sam?
Easiest way is to check out our website. It's livewithconfidence.com. And, you know, you can read about our company on the web. You can reach out to us and inquire. Our focus is working with individuals and families, working with corporations, and working with schools. Those are our three critical groups that we work with. On the corporation side, a lot of it comes down to either, you know, training executive teams, you know, doing workplace violence prevention training or critical incident response training. A lot of the services that we provide are vulnerability analyses of the company to determine, almost as in a security audit, where are you vulnerable and how do you harden the environment of the workplace? You know, how do you prevent and insulate yourself from workplace violence, and what do you do if it happens? So, you know, the idea is that we do a lot of work from the standpoint of corporations, client appreciation events, et cetera. Easiest thing is through our website or through contacting me directly. You know, our phone number here is 724-759-7571. That's our direct line, and anybody can reach us either way.
And you've also got a couple books out as well, right?
That's right. I've written two books. The most practical for most people is The Traveler's Guide to Personal Security. A lot of the training that we do with companies who send people overseas is basically the training is based upon the book and vice versa. So the book defines how to travel safely by region, you know, by modality of travel, and some of the specific dangers associated with certain travel regions, such as express kidnapping and things like that, that have sort of emerged recently as new dimensions of danger for Western travelers. The second book is called Impacts, The Way of the Warrior, and it's a philosophy book, quite honestly. It's about how to really understand how to live the principles, if you will, of kind of a warrior mindset as opposed to being that of a victim.
Well, is the most common emerging trend this express kidnapping, like you're saying, where they might take you and make you go to the ATM machine? And what's on the rise right now that our listeners should know about?
Express kidnapping is definitely on the rise and a big one. It's kind of like you said, it's like an extended mugging. So instead of a traditional street crime mugging, give me your money, and which is almost transactional, you give the guy money and they go away. Now all of a sudden you have a kidnapping, and the problem that you have there is that it's no longer, say, a kidnapping cartel level type of thing where there's been research and intelligence gathering and a certain infrastructure in place of keeping you alive until they manage to secure a ransom. What happens is it's very fast. It happens, you know, relatively, you know, violently in some cases. And unfortunately, in that 24, 48-hour, week, two-week period, they're not really that concerned about your health and well-being. And the problem that happens if you're being kept in the trunk of a car or whatever is that if they determine that you're a high-value target, then you may actually end up getting sold to a cartel. So the issue that you have is that it could turn into a much more significant event, and you've got to be on your toes, and you've got to know what signs to look for, and you've got to know when to resist and how to resist, because unlike what most people may believe, resistance is in fact extremely viable, it is probably statistically the most viable way for you to actually avoid the real negative outcomes of an attack. You know, it's going to be very successful most of the time. You just have to do it quickly and know what you're doing.
That's fascinating information, and it's the world out there. Of course, when you're traveling, you're at the mercy of the code of the area that you're in. So understanding and knowing some of this information could help you, could help others. Very important stuff. So Sam, you teach. You said you teach corporations, schools, families, and you teach at Vistage Groups as well. You're a speaker with that group as well, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. With Vistage and a number of other speaking organizations. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So if you're looking for an interesting topic and certainly an important topic, get in touch with Sam. Sam, thanks very much for joining us today. It's been fascinating, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this message, so please stay with us. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.